Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah. Welcome to this first of four episodes on the lectionary texts assigned for the third Sunday in Easter, April 30th, 2017. That is today. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. I asked last week if you had seen any signs of resurrection and what those signs are for you, because that could be different for everyone. And I'm wondering if you have seen any of those signs lately. I was talking about the spring weather we've been having, which this week has now decided to become more summer weather. We have been in the high 90s and we're supposed to be getting up into, the high 80s. We're supposed to be getting up into the low to mid 90s this week, which just, you know, I've lived in Northern California for 7 years now, and you'd think that I would be used to the fact that it starts to get hot in April. We've been lucky this year. We've had a lot of rain in April, and it didn't get as hot as early as it often does. But I am never prepared for it because it never seems to go gradually from like, oh, here we have weather in the 60s and then the 70s. No, it always seems to go from like weather in the 60s to bam, it's 90. And maybe I should try to reframe my thinking about the hotness and try to find some resurrection in the turning of the weather, the changing of the weather, find something positive about it. But I always just think, oh man, it's hot. And I am never ready for it. I'm never happy about it. I get used to it eventually, but it takes me by surprise every single time. And for those of you who, I said this another time, if you've had snow in the past week, then I apologize for complaining about how hot it is here. I would gladly send you some of our heat and we could have a happy medium. I have a friend who lives in eastern Montana, and I was complaining to her that it was in the 80s, and she was complaining to me that it was in the 40s. And really, if we could just combine our temperatures and have a nice, lovely day in the 60s, I think we'd both be really happy. So at any rate, it is Sunday, April 30th. It's the third Sunday in Easter, and we are discussing the lectionary texts. As always, I will remind you that the lectionary is a 3-year revolving cycle of readings for each Sunday. Not every denomination uses this method of assigning texts for each week, but some do. And those texts are from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospel, except during Easter, when we get, instead of that first Old Testament reading, we get readings from the book of Acts telling us about the early church and Jesus's work continuing through his disciples and signs of resurrection and stories of Jesus's resurrection and his life and death and ascension, etc. So that is actually the text that we'll be looking at today. The text assigned is Acts 2, verses 14a and 36 through 41. And we'll just jump right in and start with those. Those verses are as follows. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. So again, this is the reading from Acts assigned for this week of April 30th. the third Sunday in Easter. That's Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14a and then moving to verses 36 through 41. And if that beginning part where it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them," sounds familiar, it's because you heard it last week for the first part of the episode as well. It's just repeated here so that you are reminded what is going on. You know that Peter is addressing the crowds in Jerusalem who have gathered for Pentecost. And this is after the disciples have received the Holy Spirit from Jesus. The tongues of fire have appeared over their heads. They begin speaking in other languages so that they can communicate with everyone who is gathered for this festival. And then they go out and Peter begins addressing the crowd, and he is telling them the story of Jesus. He's telling them his experience as a disciple, as a follower of Christ who walked with him on his journey, his three-year ministry of healing and preaching and teaching, and then was there when Jesus was arrested, crucified, and rose, and then he saw him ascend, of course. So this is after that when the disciples are carrying out the mission that Jesus has given them to go out and make disciples of all the nations, to baptize them, etc. And what always strikes me from this text is that last line, "And that day about 3,000 persons were added." And I always think, man, that must have been just some amazing and incredible sermon, talk, whatever you want to say that Peter was giving, that the Holy Spirit was working through, because 3,000 people were baptized that day. First off, that's just some logistics that I can't even quite imagine. 3,000 people, I don't know how many followers of Jesus. It does say that Peter was standing with the 11, so there are at least 12 of them. I don't know if there were other followers of Christ who were there as well. That 3,000 people were baptized that day. I can't imagine one of my sermons ever having that effect, and maybe I shouldn't sell myself short, but wow, that is some amazing work of the Holy Spirit working through the words that Peter had given, or that Peter was speaking. But that is what Jesus had promised them, right? He said, I won't be with you, but I am sending my advocate," and meaning I'm sending the Holy Spirit, who will go with you, who will help you in all of these times to heal and preach and speak in my name, and you will be able to carry out my mission, to carry out my ministry, to continue the work that I have done, that I have begun, and continue to do these things in my name. So here we have a really, really tangible example of that Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit being visually represented in the tongues of fire above the disciples' heads, and we will talk more specifically about that on the day of Pentecost when we read that text. But then Peter goes out and begins speaking, and through his words and through the work of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 new people were added. 3,000 people were baptized and brought into this budding church, it wasn't even a church at that point. It was still just, you know, followers of Jesus, people who believed that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. But it's not like they had, you know, any churches set up or any bureaucracy in place. This was just a very, very, very young movement of people who were doing their best to continue Jesus' work, to proclaim Jesus as Messiah, to tell the account of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and to continue spreading the message of love that Jesus had come to bring, to continue spreading that message of God's new covenant with us through Jesus, a new way of being in relationship with not only God, but also with each other. So that is the text that we're going to be talking about today from Acts chapter 2, and we're going to talk more about that, but we are going to take our first break. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan.
The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are discussing the first of the four assigned readings for this week of April 30th, the third Sunday in Easter. And the first of the readings we are discussing is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I talked a little bit before the break about what caught my attention in this text, and that was that part about 3,000 new people being added through baptism. But as always, I'm wondering what you heard in this text. If there's anything, if you've heard these verses before, if anything new jumped out at you, or you heard anything differently than you often hear it. And I know I've said this before, but really where we are in our lives can have a profound impact on how we hear the scriptures. You can hear a scripture, and that's one of the interesting things about the lectionary, is that you will hear the same texts every 3 years. So one time through the lectionary, you could hear a set of verses, and be in one place in your life, and then 3 years later you could be in a very different place in your life, which will then affect how you hear those verses. And this is why the Bible is so important and so amazing, because it continues speaking to us throughout our lifetimes, throughout the centuries. That's why the Word of God, it is a living Word of God, because it can speak to us in different ways depending on what is going on in our lives. We'll hear things differently. Even those verses or those stories that we hear over and over and over, and we think we know them so well, we may even have them memorized, there can come a point in our lives when things are different, whatever it is, whether they're better or worse, or you're in transition, or just things are a lot different than what they were the last time you heard the story. It will affect how you hear those verses. So I always try to pay attention to what jumps out at me from a text. It may or may not be anything that, it might be something that is profound and leads me to a new insight in the text, or it might be something that just, I think, oh, okay, I never really paid attention to that before. But it's helpful, I think, to pay attention to those times when you realize that you've heard something differently, because it may lead to some insight that you hadn't had before. It may lead to some insight, whether it's the text or whether it's your relationship with God or whether it's your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It could be any number of things. So that was a really long sort of intro into just my question of, or follow up to my question of, how did you hear today's text? Was there anything that you hadn't noticed before, or anything that you heard differently, or, you know, whatever it is? So we have Peter speaking to the crowd about repentance. And one of the commentaries that I was reading this week is a commentary from the same one of the same people I talked about last week, Sarah Hinlicky Wilson, who is the editor at the Lutheran Forum in St. Paul, Minnesota. And she talks about this idea of repentance and this idea of baptism that I was speaking about before. And she says that we come to a plot point here. In fact, the first line of her commentary is, Luke has kept us waiting so long for the fulfillment of this plot point that we may have forgotten we were waiting for it at all. And if you are wondering what she's talking about, then you are not alone, because I read that and thought, A, what plot point is she talking about? And B, how, I don't, yeah, I need to know more, because I am just not sure. Because, and so she says then, so let's start by backing up and rediscovering the seed that was planted so long ago. So she goes all the way back to Luke 3. And remember that Luke and the book of Acts were written by the same author. They are two parts of one whole book, of one whole story. Luke being the story of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, and then Acts being the story of the early church, what happens after Jesus has ascended and is no longer with the disciples. So it's one continuous story, even though it is separated by the Gospel of John in the Bible. You can read Luke and Acts as one continuous book. So we go from Acts 2 all the way back to Luke 3, where Luke describes John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible, and the Bible is full of interesting characters. You know, he lived in the wilderness, he had questionable eating habits, he wore camel hair clothing, etc. But he was doing something that was different. He was baptizing. Now, we might be so used to the idea of baptism that we just don't really even think about it as being something that would be, different, not necessarily shocking, although it could have been shocking, but something that people weren't expecting. Now, there's plenty of ideas Wilson writes about in her commentary. There's plenty of times in Jewish culture where water is used in rites of cleansing. So plenty of immersions, she says, in the religious practice of Israel. She says, using water for cleansings, both physical and symbolic, is hardly an innovative idea. But in Israel, all these immersions were performed solo, by and on one's own self. So there are many instances in tradition where something happens to make that, where you become unclean, where you encounter someone who is unclean, and then you yourself are unclean. So there's all of these rituals that you have to go through to make yourself clean again, and that could have involved water of some sort, or certain rites, certain things that you had to do. And I'd realized this, but kind of in the back of my head, I never really thought about the fact that that was something that you did yourself. You went and washed, or you went and performed these specific rites, and then you could present yourself to one of the priests at the temple or the synagogue, and they would declare you to be once again clean after you had performed the rites. But they didn't perform those rites for you. So here we get John out in the wilderness in the Jordan, who is baptizing others. He is not performing these cleansing rituals just on himself. He is baptizing, and he is talking about repentance. He is doing public baptisms, speaking in public of repentance. And it was odd enough, she says, that it was attracting crowds of people to the wilderness, including tax collectors and soldiers. So you had this sort of motley crew of people going out into the wilderness, out to the Jordan, to be baptized by John, or at least to hear what he had to say. And a lot of people, when they heard what he had to say, were baptized by him. Now, what John says is that he is baptizing with water, but he is not baptizing with the Holy Spirit. He says, there is one coming after me that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So we don't know if John is talking about forgiveness in Luke's text. There is a baptism. Forgiveness is spoken of in the Gospel of Mark when it comes to baptism and repentance. We know that repentance means to turn back toward God, right? So to turn away from whatever has led you away from God and turn back toward God. We don't know if John is talking about forgiveness. That's not part of Luke's story of John the Baptist. But we still have Luke presenting this picture of John, who is baptizing as preaching repentance. But he cannot, as I said, baptize with the Holy Spirit. Instead, he prophesies that there's one coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that one is so far above John, Wilson writes, that John isn't even worthy to untie his sandals, if you remember that phrase. So then there is the proof when Jesus shows up to be baptized by John and the Spirit descends. So John is baptized, or Jesus is baptized by John. When he's coming up out of the water, a dove descends, the clouds open, and a voice says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased," etc. And so then it's prophesied as to who is coming, and the Spirit is involved in this baptism. So she says, Jesus himself is the first to have the Spirit descend upon him at baptism. John's gospel records John the Baptist's astonishment at the sight, and Matthew's gospel reports a kind of quarrel the two men had over whether one should receive baptism from the other, which is followed by the startling descent of the Spirit. Luke, she says, actually detaches John the Baptist from Jesus' baptism altogether by interpolating the account of his beheading and keeping the act of baptism in the passive voice. But one way or another, she says, Luke wants to make it very clear that John's baptism can't bestow the Spirit. So I do want to talk more about this, but we are going to take our second break. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about this week's first assigned text for the Sunday, the third Sunday in Easter, the text from the second chapter of Acts. And I want to apologize to you. I have a tickle in the back of my throat today. So if I sound creakier than normal, scratchier than normal, I apologize. I've just got this little bit of a tickle. And I'm trying not to cough into the microphone because that would be incredibly rude and unpleasant for you. So I'm trying to help you out, but if I sound funny, that's why. It's probably allergies. You know, that lovely weather does bring with it lots of pollen and allergens, so always enjoyable. And by enjoyable, I mean no, not really. Anyway, see, there we go. I apologize for clearing my throat into the microphone. So we were discussing this section from Acts, this section from the sermon that Peter is preaching on Pentecost, and the commentary that I was referencing from Sarah Hinlicky Wilson is started with kind of a teaser, saying that we have now finally have the conclusion to a plot point that Luke began back in Luke chapter 3 with Jesus' baptism, when it's talking about baptism and the Holy Spirit, etc. And she says that the 21 more chapters of Luke's gospel after chapter 3 ensue with a lot of exciting and distracting things like miracles, exorcisms, a crucifixion, and a resurrection. So we may easily lose track of baptism and the Spirit along the way. Fortunately, though, she says, Peter, filled with the long-promised Holy Spirit, is here to make amends. All righteousness has been fulfilled. The Holy One of Israel was killed, but his faithful Father raised him up again to new life, and through him grants the Holy Spirit. So all those who are still carrying burdens of repentance can come to the promised deliverance. Come and be baptized, and two extraordinary promises will be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. She says this is baptism 2.0, new and improved and better than ever. She says that the long list of the gathered nations on the day of Pentecost often obscures the fact that the people gathered to hear Peter's sermon are all Jews. They're diaspora Jews in the main, meaning that they're back in Jerusalem for the festival, but they've so acclimated themselves to their new homelands that they have forgotten their mother tongue, which is why the Spirit has to effect a linguistic miracle before Peter can be heard. But she says the gift of baptism with forgiveness and the Spirit is for them, for their children, and for all those, however far away they may be. In fact, the gift is for anyone the Lord calls to himself. That is the only prerequisite. So how amazing is that? I mean, I'm amazed that so many people were baptized, but what people of the time would have been amazed by was also the number of people who are baptized, but also what we were talking about with some of last week's texts, in that with Jesus' death and resurrection, we get this new promise in God, and that we are all God's children. And we saw that in 1 Peter, which was the third of our texts last week, part three of that episode, that we are all God's children. There's this new promise. And now we have those promises that are made through baptism. The promises of baptism bring us into the family of God. They make us a brother or sister in that family, but they also bring us into the promises of grace and the promises that God gives us. And that is one of my just one of my favorite parts of the tradition that I belong to, my favorite parts of my faith in general, is that we have this rite, this act of baptism, where we have the tangible symbol of the water as combined with the words that say, you are a child of God. You are given these gifts. You are making, God is making promises to you. You make promises as well in how you will live out your life of faith. But God makes these promises through our baptism. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we have the promises of God. We have the promises of God through Jesus Christ, and we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out into the world and do our best to share the love that we have been given with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to share the love that we have been given with all of our neighbors, regardless of their beliefs, so that they can see what we believe through the love that we share with the world. So we are given this promise, and Peter takes this time in his sermon on Pentecost to speak the truth as he has learned it, to speak of his experiences, to share with those who are listening the experiences that he had with Christ, who he believes is the Messiah. And he shares it with them so that they too can hear what he experienced. They can hear what Jesus came to say, what Jesus came to do, the examples that Jesus gave them, and the new relationship, the new covenant that we have from God, the new relationship we have with God. And the Holy Spirit worked through that in order for the people to hear what Peter was saying, to believe that God was giving them a new word, a new covenant through Christ, and they were moved to make changes in their life. They were moved to accept Jesus as the Messiah and to understand that that came within this physical act, this public act of baptism that said, yes, I do believe this, and I do believe that God has given me a new promise. So baptism for me is just a very, very important part of our lives. It is, like I said, a tangible symbol, and that's what sacraments are. They are a tangible symbol combined with the word of God. So in this case, it's the water combined with the words that we are baptized in the name of the triune God. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we are sent out into the world to be a light to that world, to bring Christ's light into whatever darkness that we find in the world. So I really have enjoyed thinking about these verses more than just, wow, Peter preached such a good sermon that 3,000 people were baptized, but more, 3,000 people were baptized, and what does that mean? What does baptism mean in our lives? What does it mean that Luke started out with John baptizing Jesus in the Jordan, that it was a baptism of repentance, meaning that we turn back to God or we turn toward God? It's a baptism of forgiveness, but it's also a baptism that turns us to God so that we are, you know, we're facing the right direction. We're facing toward God instead of facing out toward all of those other things that can distract us from our relationship with God. And that can be a foundation for our lives, and that is definitely a sign of resurrection in the world, remembering our baptism. I am Lutheran, as you know, and Martin Luther wrote once that we should live wet. He said that we should remember our baptisms every day by waking up, making the sign of the cross, and remembering that we have been baptized. We are beloved children of God. We are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and I think this is beautiful. I am not in a place when I first wake up to actually remember to be able to do this, but I think it's something that you can do throughout the day. Whether you were baptized as a baby, you were baptized as an adult, whether you're thinking about baptism, whatever it is, you can still remember the promises that are present in baptism. And if you are, you know, if you're thinking about being baptized, then you can think about the promises and what it would mean to you to be baptized. If you've been baptized, you can then think about the promises that have already been given to you, that have already been placed upon you in the water and the word. So that is my resurrection sign for today, remembering my baptism, remembering the new life that I have been given through the gifts of God, through the Holy Spirit, etc. So That's where I'm going to conclude for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will join me again tomorrow when we move on to the second assigned text for this week, and that is Psalm 116. As always, you can find all of our podcasts on www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download this and all of our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and any app that you use for podcasts on any of your mobile devices. You can follow us on social media, and I would love to hear from you on social media. So come find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and tell me what you think. Tell me if there's things about the text that you hadn't thought about before or that you just find so very comforting, etc. Tell me your favorite Bible verses. Tell me if you have prayer requests, whatever it might be. Just come find me on social media. I would love to hear from you. So thank you again for joining me today. Join me again tomorrow when we discuss Psalm 116. In the meantime, go out and look for signs of the resurrection and remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.